So we're starting a new semester with the Chazon Ish Emunah U'Bitachon. The Chazon Ish had begun. No, don't bother. The Chazon Ish had begun the work discussing how there's this slight, gentle tendency within our soul that is that trait of Emunah, and people will probably translate the word Emunah as faith. But he says we will discuss how, if a person has a worthy soul, if he has a soul that's sensitive, and he has a time in his life where he can sever himself from the great desires that ordinarily hold our focus, meaning most of the time we're very focused on the material world. If you can break away from that for a minute and think about life, so then there's this tremendous yearning within a person, if he only allows himself to tap into it, there's this tremendous yearning that sometimes feels like it's more encompassing than life. Sometimes a person feels like, if only I could get clarity about the truth of what's going on in this world, that would mean more to me than everything else in the world. Because living in this world and lacking that clarity is one of the great tortures of life. And so the Chazon Ish says, here we're going to deal with that to a degree. How do you find clarity? And he says, if you look around, so one of the things that should strike a person is the great order that you see on the planet, the great wisdom that's being invested in the formation of the planet and the formation of man. And then he went on to discuss some of the miracles of science, some of the miracles we see on a daily basis in the functioning of man, the intellect that man was granted, the hands, the arms, the senses, the sight, the feet, the capacity to eat, the capacity to digest. And he went step by step discussing the wonders that we should observe as we look at the system we live in. We take it all for granted. As we're sitting here, we're all breathing. We don't think about the fact that our breaths have to go through this whole great structure of the lungs that takes the breath and breaks down the components, the oxygen, the hydrogen, and knows how to nourish the blood, and the blood is streaming through our bodies. We didn't even think about it. He says, stop, look at the order. You want to see God in the world? Then just look around for a minute and see the wondrous order that you see. And he went step by step discussing different aspects of the science and the order that one can witness if he only stops to look around. And we continue with the sixth paragraph, the sixth section of the first chapter. After man is formed, the way we discussed, with limbs that are so perfect, and these special senses that man is granted, and with a soul that has capacity to think and attain such great heights, and with another great gift that man can form a union with a woman and bring children to the world, and there can be a continuum to man. In spite of all this, man is still not ensured that he will continue to live on the planet. You have all these things, and yet who says you're going to last? Why? Because God created a world which is antithetical to our existence. Look around you. Look at nature. There's rain. There's cold. There's illness. There are so many things around us that threaten our existence. Look around at how many wild animals, how many snakes. And new threats arise every day. I had a phenomenal experience today. I'm still reeling from it. Every year, for a number of years now, I try to get the flu shot at the beginning of the flu season. Because I had numerous years where I fell ill from the standard flu, and I decided it's not worth all the days I end up losing, so I try to get the flu shot at the beginning of the winter season. So this year, diligently, I called up the Kupat Cholim, and they said they don't have it, and I called up the next one, they said they don't have it, and finally today I said, you know what, I have a free half hour, I'm jumping over to the main building, maybe they already have the vaccine. So I come in, and they do have it. And when my turn finally comes, so the nurse tells me, I have two options. You can have the shot like you had every year, and that protects you from three strains of the flu virus, three of the major strains. But this year, we're offering you a different type of vaccine that you sniff, you sniff in the vaccine, and then you're vaccinated against four strains. But you only have to be aware that people who are getting chemotherapy, people who are whose immune system is down, you have to stay away from them for 2 weeks because you're going to carry the virus on a minuscule level on you. And you also have to know that there are more side effects, meaning it's more likely that you'll have a runny nose, it's more likely that you'll feel sore throat because it's the live virus, but you won't get ill from it. It's just, and then you'll be more immune. So I asked her, what do the doctors recommend? What do they recommend? You know, I come in contact with hundreds of people during a week. So what do doctors recommend? He said, the doctors recommend the one that goes in the nose. Okay. So, fine. I figure they're going to put this big mask on me. They're going to put a ventilation machine on me. She comes in with this little tiny vial. And she says, are you ready? So I'm thinking, it looks like the vial they shoot me with, right? She takes this little vial. It could have looked like, I don't know, a tiny thing. And she puts it by my nose. I think, oh, she's going to give me a shot in my nose. Okay, I didn't catch that. And she squirts, and then she squirts on the other side, and I barely sense like there's anything there. So she says, we're done. I said, what'd you do? She said, it's only a drop, and that's enough. I said, what do you mean it's only a drop? She said, that drop is already mixed in with the mucus of your nose, and that's it. You're done. Goodbye. And I couldn't even, you know, if you try to sniff in, I couldn't even sniff in. It was such a tiny thing. It wasn't even a drop. You couldn't. I'm trying to blow, and I can't. 10, 15 minutes later, I don't know, I start feeling a sore throat. The whole day, you see, I have a slight cold. I said to myself, wow, how many germs were in that drop? I don't even know. You know, and, you know, if do we ever think that when we sniff in, it struck me because the first time I encountered this was when one of my kids, they weren't sure if he had RSV. That's a very dangerous virus for children that attacks the lungs. So how do they check? We come to the hospital and they start putting a tube up his nose and they pull out the mucus from his nose. And they send that down to the lab, and they tell me all the information we need about him we get from that. I said, wow, okay, so we don't even realize when we blow our nose how many germs are in that tissue. That's what they're going to discuss. That's how they're going to find out if he has the RSV virus or not. He did, by the way. Baruch Hashem came out of it alive. But today, I said, look at that. One drop, we don't even think about it. You know, when we sneeze, there are so many more droplets coming out of our mouth than that one drop that I inhaled. And we don't think about it. How many germs do we throw in the air every time we sneeze? And I'm leaving the Kupat Cholim and I'm telling myself, oh, so that means the chemical warfare we're worried about from the north, from Assad, and the biological warfare, if such a tiny drop can get me vaccinated, that means that my body is going to spend the next 2 weeks contending with that drop I just sniffed, which I couldn't even sense. Which I tried inhaling and I couldn't because it was so small. Says the Chazon Ish, we live in a world that has so many germs, so many threats, minuscule. We don't even know what's around us in the air that we breathe. Today I have a different appreciation for that. That in nature, there are so many little things that can be so dangerous for us. If we mention this, I just want for the sake of your knowledge, people have this mistaken impression that AIDS cannot be contracted through a kiss or a cough or a sneeze or mutual use of a toothbrush. So I once had reason to look into this, and I called one of the top people in, I shouldn't mention which hospital, and I asked him, is that true? And he said, no, it's not true. It depends on what stage the virus is in. AIDS is a virus. And just like a virus can be contracted because someone coughs on you or sneezes on you, AIDS, if it's left untreated, depending on what state the virus is in, can definitely be contracted like any other virus. So I don't know these things, but I'm telling you what...
STD, a sexually transmitted disease.
No, it's
not. So that's what people think. That's why... Okay. I asked him because there was someone I knew who had AIDS, and he was freely kissing other people.
And he said,
not like you. Now, his job in the hospital is to deal with this. Mm-hmm. He should know. I'm telling you because I think people think the way you think, mm-hmm. that it's only transmitted that way. And I'm telling you that in the hospital, I was told very differently. Why don't you check? I checked. But I checked with an expert. That's exactly why I'm sharing this piece of information with you, because I was also under the same impression that it's an STD. Okay? Back to the Chazon Ish. I don't know. You know, it's his job to know. Gam ze lo nikhan mechacham charashim. So the Creator, whose wisdom encompasses all secrets, He was well aware of the dangers in the world he created. Mamtzi kol hanimtzaim, he created all that's created. Vayasem lev limtzo mazor v'trufa l'chol pega v'chol nega. So God, so to speak, took to heart to create a cure for every illness, for every wound. L'rapei et adam refua nemana v'lashivo al kano b'arzot ha'chaim. To give man a real cure so that man has a solid foundation in life. So God created within this body of ours, within man, God created the capacity to cure himself. Because, look, a person gets cut and he's bleeding. The body reacts. Why is it that the body can go into shock during an operation? Because when the body sees that it's cut, so then the brain and the heart and the lungs, the whole body gets together to fight that threat, to heal, to cure that limb that is wounded. There's a cut, so then the blood flow, the blood supply runs to that part of the body and the body reacts to cure it. Notice how the body right away sends congealing agents to ensure that the blood doesn't just flow out. We know, right? And the body is aroused to produce new skin, to produce healing, curing, so that the skin that's been cut can again be... have a new skin and be whole once again. וכן עברו מחנות הגנה נגד הבצילים המשחיתים. ויש בגוף האדם צבא בעלי חיים נוחין מסגולו בשרו ודמו, והם עומדים אכן בהתמדה גמורה לגרש, להרוג ולאבד את המיקרובים המסכנים תחי האדם. Microbim is the Hebrew word for microbim, microbes. Microbes. He says, within man, God created this defense system where if the body has organisms that threaten it, so then the body reacts. I once had a thorn that I couldn't get out. And I decided, okay, I can't get it out. What's going to happen? I'm going to move on with life. I'm going to ignore it. Do you guys know what happens when you ignore a thorn?
It grows over.
The body creates pus pocket around the thorn, and under that pus pocket, new skin forms. And then, when the pus pocket explodes, the thorn comes out because basically the skin becomes dead skin. I didn't know. I tried it as a kid. I remember I said, I'm not telling my parents. I'm not going to go through that pain of getting it out. I tried for hours, couldn't get it out. Okay, I said, I'm ignoring it like nothing happened, right? And it got red, and then it got white. And then after like 2 weeks, I had this big pocket of pus And when it opened, so everything came out and it was dead skin, and I had new skin underneath. I didn't know my body was going to do that. By the way, you know what's the easiest way to get a thorn out? But you got to do this gently. I don't know if I should say this online. Kids don't do this. Parents can do this. And even parents have to know how to do it really gently. If you take a surgical blade, so you make a slight incision. You don't go in. You go where you don't even feel it. And usually the thorn is just there. And I do that to myself every time now, ever since I'm a Moel. So I take the surgical blade and I make the slightest cut. Usually the thorn is just under the skin. And the trick is to do it in a way that you don't even feel it, meaning you don't want to hurt yourself. And you cut open a flap and you don't even feel it afterwards. You open it up, take out the thorn, and goodbye. That's the easiest way to take out a thorn.
Sometimes soap works.
Yeah, you could put it soak it in hot water, and you could put soap, and you could take a shower, and you can... Right, but all those things are more painful. But I'm saying you don't feel, if you know how to do it. I'm saying, okay, don't do it with your kitchen knife. I said a surgical knife. You go to the pharmacy for 5 shekel, you get these laser-sharp knives. But just be careful, because they're so sharp, you wouldn't feel if you cut halfway into your finger. That's the idea of these knives. So you got to really like scrape the skin. You're not even cutting the skin. You scrape off the skin on top of the thorn, and then the thorn falls out. Okay, I guess most people wouldn't know how to do this. So we're talking about scraping, not cutting the skin. And again, the danger with this knife is that it's so sharp, you don't really feel when it's cutting. So you can't, if you don't know what you're doing, I guess don't do it. Okay. Back to the Chazon Ish. So the body has these fantastic mechanisms to protect itself. And these mechanisms are functioning. We don't even think about it. You know, did you guys ever spend a night in a yeshuv? Did you ever spend a night in a yeshuv that was dangerous? I once had to do a bris on Shabbos. In a yeshuv where, when you walked into the shul, the whole wall was plastered with people who were murdered in that yeshuv. So, I'm spending the night there, and I don't know what's going on around me, right? I know that not so long ago, someone's been killed over there. So, you suddenly notice the army patrols that are going around, and you notice how often they're going around, and you ask yourself, are they doing a good job or not doing a good job? Do you ever think about what's going on as we sleep at night? Do you ever think about how many radars are protecting our airspace? How many people are sitting on the screens? How many people are listening to conversations? And how many soldiers are running into enemy territory to protect us? We go to sleep, man. We say, oh, it's a little cold tonight. You know, we don't think about the guy over there in the trenches who's, you know, he's got mosquitoes. Like, we had a student here who told me he was a sniper. He said to me, how did he become religious? Because he's a sniper. He said he would sometimes have to lie on the ground for a week straight and not move. He said, you know what it means to lie for a week? We'd have this little bottle which we'd make. Yeah, he said, sometimes you sat there for a week until they told you to pull the trigger or not pull the trigger. He said, yeah, so you couldn't make too much noise. You couldn't go anywhere. You did your bodily needs in a bottle because you couldn't leave any remnants behind to show you're there. He said, what do you do for a week? Sitting looking through the sniper glass. He said, your mind starts going places. So now you have a choice. Where's your mind going to go? So his mind was thinking about the meaning of life. He sat there looking through the glass, looking at the person he was waiting for in order to shoot or not shoot. And he started thinking, what's the purpose of everything I'm doing here? And that landed him here in Machon Meir. We don't think about the guy lying there, right? Mosquitoes on his back and he can't do anything. We think about, hey, didn't it get cold tonight? You know, the winter's coming on fast. Wow. So by the same token, internally, we don't think about the antibodies that are fighting. There's a whole army inside us that's functioning. It's part of God's plan. The Chazon Ish says, just take a minute and think about it. God created this whole army from within to fight whatever enemies, whatever germs or diseases would try to take us down. We have an army within, an army in our flesh, an army in our blood. And they're standing prepared. Meaning just like while we sit here, there are soldiers out there doing their work so that we can actually sit here. By the same token, within us, there's this whole army within us that's standing ready, standing on guard consistently to eradicate any enemy that would try to destroy us, that would try to endanger us. And sometimes there are serious circumstances. Sometimes, in fact, our own army is not powerful enough to win the war against this vicious enemy. And sometimes our internal army needs external help. So the Creator created this great abundance of good cures. You have grasses, you have vegetables, you have fruits. You have different waters that have different minerals. Umutzakim rabim, you have all kinds of solids, bekadur haaretz, throughout the planet. Ashanitan bem sgulot marpe leminihem. And different objects have different capacities to cure different diseases. Uvelev chacham, and within our wise heart, natan chokhmah lachkor achar sgulotem. He gave us the wisdom to research, to try and find out which plant will help what. Did you ever wonder how they figured out how the different plants cure different things? Veladat chokhmah ta'ofua v'open shimushan kol min letuadto. So God not only created this wisdom, He also gave us the capacity to research this wisdom, to learn how we use the different vegetables, the different fruits, the different minerals to cure the body. As we all know, we're accustomed to this, that when we have an infection, we go to the doctor, he gives us an antibiotic. We know you have an allergic reaction, you go and you get an antihistamine. We know there are certain things we're accustomed to. It's like a given. You just go to the doctor and you get the cure. Where did it all come from? So there was this great plan where the body could protect itself. And then there was this great plan that if the body cannot, if it's going to get too tough on the body, then God creates the cure. And beyond that, God gives us the intellect to research that cure, to discover that cure. All of this is part of the plan we're supposed to notice if we want to see God in the world.